Hey there, everyone. James Hilliard back with you. And today we are joined by Greg Carter. Greg is an information availability architect with Veritas. And Greg, I believe it is safe to say that we all do understand kind of the exponential growth of data and resources that are needed to store and manage all of the data created today, especially within healthcare. And it's one of the most pressing issues facing that industry. Tied really right at the hip is the fact that then all that data that's critical for healthcare organizations and patients, it needs to be secured, it needs to be protected. And the bad guys are going after that information. So what we're going to do, folks, on this episode of Connection Point is discuss some data security challenges for healthcare organizations. And we'll touch on some of the ideas for you to help protect, locate, and recover needed information to support and advance patient care. So again, Greg, appreciate your time today. Let's start with the kind of cyber attacks that you see are affecting healthcare providers kind of the most today.
Well, what we're really seeing is an increase of ransomware attacks. And, you know, while the ransomware attack itself is not new, the focus on healthcare, it is new. And the attacks hold organizations, their data hostage, not allowing them to use it or get access to it when needed. And so in a healthcare situation, this is really, really, really risky.
And Greg, I'm brought back to the enterprise space. There have been a lot of headlines out there of data breaches, right? Major brands. Have there been those type of major medical breaches? Same thing happening to that scale kind of in the healthcare vertical?
Absolutely. And it seems like this year is the year for them. So, for example, Hollywood Presbyterian in California, MedStar Health in D.C., King's Daughters in Indiana, and also Methodist Hospital in Kentucky. And these are just a few of the examples, and the year is not over yet, so I'm sure we'll be seeing more of these, unfortunately.
All right, as I listened to that group, they sounded like larger hospitals. Are smaller clinics at risk? Are regional centers also being targeted?
Everyone's at risk, and it's not just healthcare. I was reading today about a water company in Lansing, Michigan, who also fell succumb to the ransomware attack. So it's not just, you know, healthcare, it's not the small clinics, it's everybody. And if you have a business, if you're online, you are vulnerable to some kind of attack because, unfortunately, people are the weakest link no matter what the attack is.
And are we seeing, you know, hey, pay us $25,000 and you get your data back, $2 million? What's the scale that we're seeing?
Oh, it ranges. You know, it can be from a few thousand dollars to tens of thousands to actually, as you said, millions of dollars. It depends on the view from the hacker standpoint of that data that he or she is holding hostage. So it can definitely be very, very costly to the organization if they don't have a way of recovering and avoiding paying that ransom.
And Greg, let's dive into kind of how these attacks are being executed. Is it the malicious, mad insider that's trying to get back at the healthcare organization? Is it careless web activity? Are groups targeting certain hospital groups or regions? What's going on there?
Well, it's a variety of those things, but what we've found is that usually it's through a user. So maybe it's an employee at one of the hospitals that I've mentioned before. And, you know, there was a phishing scam via email or social media, or they accidentally went to a malicious website. You know, these are the ways the hackers and the hacker community actually attack an organization that they want to hold for ransom, for example. And we always say this in IT, the user is always the weakest link. Unfortunately, that is the case, and it hasn't changed.
And what you've described, Greg, I've been covering business and tech for 15 plus years or so. These are some of the same issues that were going on years and years and years ago. It seems like we should be past this, but the fact is we just simply aren't.
No, we're not. And it comes down to a few things. You have to train your people to recognize these attacks. I mean, these attacks can really have a huge impact on the organization, especially healthcare. And I like to say it always comes back to people, process, and technology. You know, first, having a valid security policy in place, you know, preferably based on the NIST framework, but having a policy and also technology in place, and also backed by senior management or senior leadership, you know, this sets the standard for how you operate your business, how your users or your employees access information and transfer information. So having a security policy and making sure that the user community is educated on that policy so they know what to do, what not to do, those things are very, very key. Then you have the technology side of things, having a good disaster recovery or business continuity type of solution and technology in place. So if you do fall prey to a ransomware attack, you can recover that data back before the ransom attack actually occurred. And at Veritas, of course, we have solutions that can help our customers do that with NetBackup, for example. But also things like snapshots or high availability, these things can work in conjunction with backup. And then lastly, making sure these things are rehearsed, making sure you continuously update your policies for security, make sure you also continuously train your people so they're always aware of the new attacks or old attacks that are resurfacing, making sure the technology actually works as advertised by doing the test restores and tests of recovery from a snapshot or doing failovers with high availability. These things are necessary if you want to prevent your organization from falling prey.
Greg, you brought up the idea of these strategies. In healthcare, has that vertical adopted the CISO, right, the Chief Information Security Officer? Is that person in place? Are those teams in place? Is that where the strategy should begin? They need to be really leading the company on the security front?
Absolutely. There is typically in healthcare a CISO, and they have a staff below them that help actually implementing and executing the strategy that the CISO sets. But all in all, even though the security group will actually handle the implementation and maintaining and monitoring, it's an entire company's effort. So everyone is responsible for proper security. They're responsible for following the policies that are set. So it's everyone has skin in the game for it.
Love to get into and tap some best practices from you, Greg. Let's start talking about training. Folks, often they get onboarded, so that new employee gets some type of security training. They might sign a doc, hey, I won't do this, I won't go to this type of website, etc. But often that's it. Are you seeing more proactive training? It happens more often. It's ongoing, not just kind of a one and done?
Absolutely. I think back to how we do things at Veritas. We are frequently trained on security best practices and posture. We are also tested. So we could get an email. It looks probably like it's internal, but you're not sure. But we are trained to look for certain key words or looking at the email address or looking at the attachments, not opening it, but looking at it to see if it seems off. So you have to train your people. It's something that has to happen not just at the onboarding process, but throughout your tenure there. So it's a constant, ongoing cycle of training. And then test the people, see if they're actually following the training, see if they're paying attention. And if they fall prey to these attacks, these internal test attacks, then you know you have more work to do.
And Greg, on the IT side, you know, kind of the tech and the process, many teams talk about how they would like to test and test often, but sometimes that just doesn't happen for whatever reason. So maybe they test once or maybe twice a year. Do you see more testing in healthcare than in other verticals? Should there be more? Since again, healthcare, as we're talking today, seems to be more in the crosshairs these days of attackers.
Well, as far as the training, definitely multiple times per year, at minimum two, but it can be more than that based on the need. And as far as the testing of your strategy in case you fall prey, again, it comes down to at least a couple times a year. But again, you base this based on how you have recovered or how you have succeeded or failed that test. If you're finding that you can't recover in this test type scenario, or you're having issues, or it's taking longer than you thought it would, it's time to make changes based on what you've seen. And so that may increase the amount of training or testing or fixes you must do to your strategy and to the solutions in place. So it really depends. I can't say there's a baseline of only doing this many per year. It really depends on the organization.
Hey, Greg, really appreciate the conversation and the insights here today. And folks, appreciate you tuning on in. As we start wrapping up here, just a reminder, the PC Connection Inc. and Veritas, they can help you deploy the data services and solutions that you need to keep your providers and your patients connected to critical information. So if you're interested in learning more about the Veritas solutions and then the services that PC Connection, Gov Connection, and More Direct can offer your organization, we invite you to visit pcconnection.com/health. Or if you want to reach out and talk to a team member, 1-800-395-8685 is the phone number. You can drop us an email at connect@pcconnection.com. Thanks again to Greg Carter, and my thanks to all of you for being on board for this episode of Connection Point as well. We do look forward to talking to you all down the road.